Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of A Vision for You. My name is Leah M., recovered compulsive overeater, and your moderator for this morning. Today is Sunday, April 26, 2026. The share ID numbers for Friday, April 24th, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Big Book Study, 23,397. That's 23397. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Big Book Study, 23,398. That's 23398. This morning, A Vision for You presents Living in Step 11 Transformed My Personal Transformation. Step 11 states, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. The Big Book teaches on page 143 that to get over drinking, for us, compulsive overeating, will require a transformation of thought and attitude. The 12 steps, as outlined in the Big Book, represent a process of spiritual awakening, a personality change sufficient to overcome compulsive overeating and bring about recovery. The real advantage of these steps is that they are a specific, proven method for producing a transformation, a change in the way we think, a change in the way we feel, a change in the way we behave. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of our lives, are cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions, ideas, and attitudes begin to dominate us. Our recovery depends on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. The powerlessness over compulsive overeating that nearly destroyed us will return if we do not work on maintaining our contact with God. In step 11, we carry that goal further. We seek to improve the conscious contact with God that we have established in the previous step. Bill Wilson wrote that when we aren't doing well, the chances are better than ever that we shall locate our trouble in our misunderstanding or neglect of AA's step 11, prayer and meditation and the guidance of God. He continues, the other steps can keep most of us sober, for us abstinent, recovered, and somehow functioning. But step 11 can keep us growing if we try hard and work at it continually. Joining us today to share his personal experience on step 11 is Rick J., a recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Rick is dedicated to our 12-step way of life and is a beloved member of A Vision for You. It's with great appreciation and a pleasure to welcome Rick J to the line this morning. Good morning, Rick. Star one to unmute Rick. Good morning, Rick. Star one to unmute.
Sorry, Leah. I was talking away, and I realized that I had the little mute button on my phone pressed. So thank you so much, Leah. And thank you, everyone, for being here. What a gift. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina, and you know, nothing like starting my day with a little humility, you know, and that's a good thing, you know, and I just say thank you, God, because I need that. I really, really do. It's not about me. It's just about me showing up and being the person that I am, because I am enough today. Certainly perfectly imperfect, but I am a child of God and a worthwhile human being. Step 11 is that kind of step for me that I would look at it, you know, the steps on the wall, I call it. When I was in early recovery meetings long ago, I would be looking at the steps on the wall. And for me, I was very agnostic, and I would just go through the steps on the wall, reading them and just checking off the ones that I would never, ever work. Step two was one of them. I didn't want to hear about believing in a power greater than myself. Step three had the word God in it, and never mind the fact that they were very careful to include the words as we understood him. And of course, step 11. You know, it's like seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him, and seeking only for his knowledge for me and the power to carry that out. I got to the point in my life where I did believe in a power greater than myself, and I could understand that if I was truly powerless, I needed a power greater than me. Because I'm beyond human aid. I mean, I really truly got that. And, you know, but it was still for me, you know, it was just like, I would just read the step, you know, I would read step 10, continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admit it, you know, seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. So, but I wasn't living in these steps. And honestly, after being in 12-step recovery since 1987, I truly never learned what it means to live in the steps through the instructions very clearly and distinctly outlined in the Big Book. And what I would like to do this morning, because I am extremely ADHD and my mind can shoot off in 1,000 directions, I just want to share with you how I start my day and out of the Big Book, and then just, you know, share my own experiences, you know, as I go through these pages on step 11. And of course, you know, it starts on the very bottom of page 85, step 11, suggests prayer and meditation. But for me, in the morning, I actually start back on page 83. And it says, we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And again, they're just words on a book. But when I close my eyes and I connect to that prayer, and by the way, there doesn't seem to be a statute of limitations on this, even though it's connected with step 9. It just says, ask each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And, you know, and I envision the people in my life, you know, my beautiful wife, Jennifer, and the children that I adore, Jake and Olivia, my spiritual fellows that I've come so close with on this amazing journey, my friends, my extended family, the driver out there on the road, which I've struggled with, you know, I'm asking my Creator, this God of my understanding, and by the way, just a full disclosure here, and disclaimer, anytime I say the word God, I mean the God of my understanding. So I just imagine a face when I have my eyes closed, the face of this person that I'm asking God to show me the way of patience, tolerance, and kindliness and love to. And I sprinkle some other spiritual attributes in there too. I love understanding and forgiveness. That's one that comes up too for me, that I struggle with. And that's why I ask each day. I mean, if I don't, and believe me, I don't do this perfectly. And there are some mornings where I do not do this, but this is what I try to do each morning. And that's a good way to start for me. And it just reminds me that, you know, I'm no longer running the show. And it reinforces through step 11 that I am not, that I am continually turning my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand God, that we did in step 3. It continues on, you know, in this beautiful step. And another interesting thing for me is right after that little prayer is the sentence, two sentences. The spiritual life is not a theory, and in italics, we have to live it. So I actually, you know, I translate for me, not that I'm trying to rewrite the big book, but when I see the word have to, if I put the word must in there, it's a little bit more like, oh, it's a must. We must live it. I must live it. It's not a theory. This spiritual life they're talking about, what spiritual life? The spiritual life of patience, tolerance, kindliness, love, understanding, forgiveness, creativity, joy, light, all the things that by my very nature left unattended, spiritually unattended, I do not have those attributes. I'm more like the opposite of that, sort of like it describes back on page 52, you know, where the talks about the bedevilments. I mean, that's pretty much my factory default settings, you know, is impatience, intolerance, unkindliness, unloving, you know, couldn't control emotional natures, prey to misery, depression, feeling of uselessness, full of fear, unhappy, you know, unable to help other people. That is sort of where I go to if I do not take action. And conveniently enough, this chapter, Into Action, is telling me, you know, how to live a spiritual life. And of course, we have to unblock the things that are blocking us from this power. I have to release these things. You know, and that's the beauty of step 10. But I actually love how step 11 intertwines with step 10 and 7 and creates this spiritual placeholder for us throughout the day to connect with my higher power and the people in our lives, you know, and to identify and release the character defects which block me from this only power, which can transform me on a daily basis. I have to release the things that are blocking me, and I have to connect more strongly to the power that's transforming me. And that's what this step for me is all about. It's not just seeking through prayer and meditation in the morning. It's a way of life. Some things that really jump out to me, too, is, you know, in the wording through here is the words constantly and especially. You know, at the bottom of page 85, it says step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. And the men and women in my life that I'm close to and are guides for me and show me the way and share their experience and shine their light inspires me to do the same. And, you know, these men and women are using it constantly. And I love that word constantly. And it doesn't stop there. You know, back at the bottom of page 87, you know, when we are going through the day, you know, it says we constantly remind ourselves, you know, and of course that's a little bit more with the pausing. But I just love how it's very clear that we're doing this constantly reminding ourselves. These are thoughts like in the morning, which must go with me constantly. The paragraph on page 85, that to me, it's sort of the transition paragraph to the transition paragraph from 10 and 11. And it's not just going from one to the other for me. It's actually connecting those two steps. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol, food, is a subtle foe. Here's the kicker for me. We are not cured of alcoholism, compulsive eating. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And again, you know, going back to the spiritual life is not a theory. I have to live it. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And so it's telling me, you know, that word constantly, it's living in it. If I'm doing something constantly, it's not something just I do here and there or in the morning or, you know, or at night, or it's constantly. And step 11 provides those spiritual placeholders to be able to do this constantly. And also the other word is the word especially. You know, if constantly is connecting, then for me, especially is releasing. You know, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And the other especially is, you know, we conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that would be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we'd be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful not to make any requests for ourselves only. So constantly, especially release my self-will, constantly connect with my higher power. And, you know, step 10 is such an integral part of step 11. And by that connection, step 7 is an integral part of step 10. So it doesn't do me any good if I keep praying for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out, if I'm not connecting to the character defects within me so that I can release them through the actions described here. So I, the first actual sentence, when it talks about continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. So this is part of, you know, step 10. It's a part of my pausing throughout the day. And the very first thing that we do here is ask God at once to remove them. That's step 7 right there. I mean, it's imperative that when I see something coming up, when something's brewing, I can just pause and ask God to remove it. You know, before it goes anywhere else, I can just ask God to remove it. And certainly, you know, if I have gone full bore into selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment and fear, I have to ask God at once to remove it there too and discuss it with someone immediately, make amends quickly. It's like spiritual triage. But that asking God at once to remove them is such a vital part of step 11 through step 10. So I have to blend these for me for it actually to be very effective. I had a sponsor one time, a long time ago. He used to say, Rick, step 7 is the last step I work. You know, and where I was at the time, all I could glean out of that was I needed to get a sponsor who'd actually worked all 12 steps. He didn't explain it to me, and he let me figure it out on my own. And I'm so grateful for that. I finally had this blinding moment of clarity and inspiration that he said that all the time because he literally worked step seven all the time. He was constantly using this step, connected to step 10, connected to step 11. And the beautiful part about all this is going forward for step 12, you know, if I'm living a spiritual life to the best of my ability, never perfectly, we don't claim spiritual perfection, we only claim spiritual progress, is that I have a message of depth and weight, not just a message of depth and weight. Now I'm living a message of depth and weight for someone else. And that's what attracted me so much to recovery and the people who were carrying that vision of God's will for me by working their own program, by living in recovery. It wasn't just about someone showing up and saying, yep, I just followed my food plan perfectly today. And certainly, there's a foundation upon which all of these spiritual steps are built upon. And I don't leave any step out. But if I am truly living a spiritual life to the best of my ability, God is either everything or he is nothing. It's in the ability that I can speak the language of the heart. It's in the ability that I can listen to someone else speak in the language of the heart. That connection between me and my higher power and you is the greatest gift of all. It's that connection. You know, I was told that this compulsive eating, any addiction, it's a disease of isolation. And that actually is where my disease wants me today. It doesn't seem very fair either. Because I don't want to be living, you know, in this isolation. But my factory default settings will take me there if I don't intercede with spiritual actions that connect me, that release what's blocking me and connect me to the power that's transforming me. And Leah, I realized that I meant to set my timer, and I did not. So if you could please give me a gentle reminder at the appropriate time or a five-minute heads up, that would be so much appreciated. So living in step 11 is starting my day. But when it first starts talking about step 11, the first spiritual actions that it actually outlines is the constructive review of the day. So it's already, you know, imperatively putting a daily step 10 inventory built right into step 11. And when I do these questions at night, and I've got the little tool app where I send it and then share it with a couple of people who in turn share theirs with me. But when I answer these questions, for me, the most important thing I can do is certainly being honest and thinking about my day in a reflective way. And the more I do this, the more I can see, you know, where I have been selfish, dishonest, resentful, or afraid, or do I know apology? You know, the more I'm doing this, I can see if I've been kind and loving toward all. But I also love that it gives me the opportunity to think about the things that I did right, that, you know, I helped others. And I love that. Pack into the stream of life. So living my life to the fullest is about the best way I connect with that. And it lets me do that because, you know, it's a life worth living today. If I'm living a spiritual life to the best of my ability and being the person I feel God would have me be, the best version of myself, with a lot of help and spiritual intervention and a lot of action, then I really have lived a good life in this day. You know, we stay one day at a time, but if I'm living a good life, you know, it's going to happen in the day. So if I have a good day, I'm having a good life. You know, on the other hand, the way my brain works, if I'm having a bad day, my life sucks. But that's why I really try to stay out of my own way. And man, you know, when I get into my head, it's the magic magnifying mind, you know. But here it gives us also the opportunity to ask God's forgiveness and to inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And also not to be too, like, disconnected through worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. I mean, when I start doing that stuff, that's negative energy and it disconnects me. But I can just ask for forgiveness. I'm not perfect. Nobody else is. I don't expect myself to be perfect, although, let me rephrase that, I do still expect perfection out of myself, but I recognize it sooner. And the corrective measures, I mean, here we go. I mean, this is, you know, being rocketed into the fourth dimension that it talks about. For me, it's the corrective measures. It's the courage to change, you know, the things I can. What about my day needs some corrective measures? You know, and I look at these corrective measures carrying through in the morning on awakening. You know, and I'm thinking about the 24 hours ahead, and I'm thinking about my plans, you know, and I'm asking God to direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, Rick's world. I'm looking at the corrective measures I'd put down from the night before. And it's my prayer, too, to include me to have the courage to change, to, you know, and to not have to repeat the things that I'm doing. I don't have to do step 10s all day. You know, if I'm pausing and I started my day bringing God into it, into the corrective measures that I can be taken. You know, I'm powerless, but I'm not helpless. I am not choiceless. I choose to take these actions to keep me connected to my higher power as much as I can. So that it's not just a, well, time to pause. I just automatically pause. I practice pausing. When I think about my day, and I have asked God to, you know, to change my self-seeking motives into right motives, then it becomes really easy to just, it's about God and it's about others. It's not about me. I mean, certainly I have to take care of myself and I have things I'm accountable for and responsible for, but my world does not evolve around me like it once did continuously and occasionally still does. That's, you know, I claim spiritual progress, not perfection. And just like this morning, when I was reading this next part and thinking about our day, we may face indecision, I was getting all caught up in talking this morning. And I was writing down notes, and this is what happens with me, is I'll write down something, and then I line through it, and then I make little notes on the side, and then I start over, and then I, you know, so I'm, you know, all of a sudden I'm fighting again, right? And it's like, I just like that, going in and shutting my eyes and just saying, hello, God. You know, it's such a relief. And I can just ask for help in not fighting this and not trying to be perfect and not trying to, you know, do anything other than just carrying a message through God's will and transformation for me. That's it. That's all. And then I can relax and take it easy. I don't have to struggle. You know, and when we first started out, it lets us know, being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is probable that we are not going to be inspired at all times. But backing up to that first sentence on page 87, what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. For me, that's a beautiful promise right there. That's a step 11 promise. There's so many of these powerful promises that are coming true for me. So, but I don't focus on the being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, you know, and paying for this presumption and all kinds of absurd actions and ideas, I concentrate on, you know, the inspiration is gradually becoming a working part of my mind. My thinking, as time passes, is more and more becoming elevated in the plane of inspiration, and I'm coming to rely more and more on it. I mean, that's beautiful. That means that God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And those promises. And I love reading those promises in the morning when I have time, because it's, for me, the promises are descriptions of spiritual transformation. You know, and like there's promises for, you know, the releasing of my self-will and living a new spiritual life. And then there's also promises of my obsession of the mind that also comes with, you know, as I'm going through step 9. And step 10, we continue doing this. For me, you know, just a side note, there's no distinction really between step 9 promises and step 10 promises. They're all, these promises are accumulating, they're culminating. When I start beginning that final stage of personal house cleaning, of cleaning up the past, then I'm experiencing that feeling of release and connection more and more strongly. You know, and the obsession of the mind is, you know, I mean, I'm no longer going to the food. It's not, you know, if I've had this spiritual awakening, then it's not continuing something that's going to get me that. It's the continuing of the releasing and the strengthening of my connection in 11 and asking God to release it in step 7 that keeps me going and keeps me growing. I have seen more and more now that, you know, my first thoughts, you know, can be a killer. And it's all about my thinking, right? It's my thinking. It's my old story. There's thousands of old stories. It's old ideas. They're already there. And a lot of times what happens is my first thought just automatically connects to an old thought or an old idea. And that's just what it is. It's just a thought. It's just an idea. And the inspiration that I'm coming to realize is that as soon as I recognize that first thought as being simply a first thought, then I can move on to let God lead me into a second thought, an inspiration, instead of an old thought and an old idea. You know, we conclude this period of meditation, and meditation, it's whatever we need it to be. The only wrong way to work step 11 is to not work it. I know, that's what I was told, and I believe that. And my period of meditation might be just sitting down with this book and reading these pages. On the other hand, depending on what's going on in my life, it might be going for a walk, going for a bike ride, watching the countryside go by on a long trip. You know, it's about me letting go of Rick and connecting to my higher power, this beautiful power that is transforming me if I do the actions, if I let it. But I love that we can start this day off, you know, with these any corrective measures that we need to take care of, and that we pray to be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and given whatever we need to take care of such problems. And again, for me, that's in the pausing. And then we ask especially for freedom from self-will, from Rick's world. You know, there's that especially again. I don't have to just start my day and live my day the way I did yesterday. I love being able to take what I learned from the day before and apply it to go forward in this day, being a slightly better version of myself with God's help and your help. And I have to have that help. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. And without any kind of spiritual action or intervention, all I am, I'm, you know, and I am nothing but an extreme example of self-will run riot, just waiting to happen. I know this about me. And saying a prayer for someone else has changed over the years, especially with my daughter, who, as a lot of you know, has struggled through suicide attempts, overdose, you know. And it used to be my prayer was only for, you know, God to help her, God to transform her. I don't know what God's will is for that young woman. She's my daughter, but she's God's child. And my prayer now is that God's will be done for her. And I am available if in any way, shape, or form God needs a human instrument down here, you know, in real time to help this girl in any way I can, to please help me know how I can help her as she's going along the path of God's will for her. It's letting go, but it's also being empowered to do the actions I can take without getting completely paralyzed in fear of her future and resentment of the disease that is killing her. So. And then we have this opportunity, this placeholder here, you know, in this morning meditation, if we want to include some religious devotion or ritual that we do, that's fine. I really latch on to the "we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers," which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. And a lot of those prayers and the helpful book is right here in this big book. You know, it's amazing what they have here. You know, when I'm treating this big book as a source, you know, of prayers to emphasize the principles that I'm trying to live and that we've been discussing, but that I'm trying to live today. You know, there's the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer. You know, on page 417 in, you know, in the story, acceptance was the answer. There's a beautiful paragraph on acceptance. There's so much, whatever, you know, parts of this big book and prayers in this big book mean something to you, it's a beautiful way to start the day and to remember to include them anytime we feel like it. Anytime. The 12 and 12 is another one of the books that I use for this inspiration. And there's an interesting paragraph at the top of page 98, and it says, "There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. But when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life." So that's how I see this step 11, is it's already given me a placeholder to do a step 10 inventory. And I think of it as my inventory with God each day. And then I share that with others. But I'm logically relating and interweaving the personal inventory with prayer and meditation. And I have found that for me, it really has become an unshakable foundation for life. I had an experience not too long ago. I came home, frantic call from my son, and in the driveway and the little cul-de-sac where we live, there was two fire trucks, an ambulance, and a police car. I went racing in the house, up the stairs, and there was a 6 or 7 paramedics, first responders gathered around, crowded in the bathroom where my daughter was laying on the floor. And they assured me that she was stable and breathing. They put her on a stretcher. My first thought was to race into my car and follow the ambulance to the hospital. And, you know, I was shaken emotionally. You know, I was in shock. And also, I was very hungry and trembly. And you know what? I just paused. It just, Rick, God's got her. This ambulance crew has got her. They're taking her to the hospital, to the emergency room. They're going to take good care of her. You know exactly where she's going to be. I want you to sit down and calmly eat lunch and get in your car and safely drive over to the hospital. And that's what I did. This is not the actions of someone who would just, you know, read a step on a wall starting out, oh, well, I can't work that one, to, okay, all right, I'll seek through prayer and meditation. This, for me, is living in this step to where, you know, not just on a beautiful, serene morning, but in a moment of life that's terrifying and shocking and unexpected. It works. It really does. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. No kidding. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thou will be done. You know, and there's that word constantly again. Constantly. So for me, pausing is probably the spiritual action I hear the least about. And I love hearing when people share pausing stories with me. So anytime you have a great pausing story, please, I'd love to hear it. And they go right into the pause promises. I mean, this is all part of step 11. It's also all a part of step 10. It's also all a part about step 7. It's also a part about step 1 and 2 and 3. Each step incorporates the previous steps. So step 11 incorporates all the previous steps. And this is the spiritual awakening that happens as a result of this work in these steps that they talk about in the next step. And this is the message that we can carry to others. These are the principles we can practice in all our affairs, all the time, each day. You know, we are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. I think of these promises as the exciting fear wasp. You know, like, and that's how I remember, you know, the excitement and the fear. That's the exciting fear wasp, worry, anger, self-pity. You know, and part of me likes to take a rock and throw it at the nest, right? And get those wasps all, you know, flying around and people are going to get stung and I have to run to keep getting stung. You know, there's a part of me that loves doing that. Don't know why. I just do. It's just a fact of my life. I've accepted it. However, I have a spiritual action I can take. It's my favorite carrying around tool, and it's pausing. And pausing is the ultimate placeholder to practice these principles in all my affairs. I can pause when I'm agitated or doubtful. I can pause to just say, thank you, God. I can pause to say the serenity prayer. That's a beautiful pause prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference. And I just plug in the exact situation I'm in. Or do the version of the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, courage to change the people I can, and the wisdom to know that it's me. I'm the one that has to change. It works. It really does. you know, backing up really quickly to page 87, page 85, we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And, you know, I think of that as spiritual connection. I'm not trying to rewrite the big book. But when I think of spiritual condition, it just makes a little more sense to me, or I can identify with it a little more clearly when I think of spiritual connection. I have to maintain that spiritual connection by releasing anything that's blocking me and connecting more strongly through prayer and meditation anytime I feel like it, constantly, and especially releasing that which blocks me. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And another way that I think of this sentence is, every person is a person who I must carry the vision of God's will to in all of my interactions. It's you know, the vision of God's will into all of our activities with everyone. It's the people that usually I have the conflict with. And that's where that prayer that I started the day with, to be shown the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, forgiveness, understanding, love, you know, including this asshole that just cut me off, you know, out on the road. It just cut me off, and there he is. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray and remember my prayer. And I have to say the serenity prayer for other drivers a lot. I have a history of road rage. And I can claim spiritual progress there. But pausing, you know, and just using every spiritual tool I have anytime I feel like it for any reason. Pause, pray, and use step 11. Great acronym. I still say, if it's worth doing, it's worth being addicted to. And being addicted to pausing is my new addiction, and I love it. I love it. And I can say in a pause, a lot of times it's like, hello there, first thought, F you. Hello there, first thought, F you. And I'm just going to keep showing up. I'll keep coming back. I thank you all so much for being here with me and for showing me the way and shining your light. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick, for this beautiful and profound presentation this morning on Step 11. Authentic, thorough, and instructive. Truly a gem for the archives. Thank you so much. The share ID for today's presentation, 23,400. That's 23400. Rick's contact information will be given at the conclusion of this recording, so please stay tuned for that. We will now transition to a question and answer segment. You can pose a question to Rick, questions only, by pressing *1 to unmute. I need your name as well as the first letter of your last name.
Tenson P.
Hannah R.
Shanna C.
Thus far, I have Tenzin P, Hanayeta R, Shanna C.
Tony B.
Tony.
Mary Lee R in Oregon.
Mary Lee.
Ted G from New Jersey.
Is that Ted? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Gotcha, Ted. Anyone else in this lineup?
Ken W.H.
Good morning, Ken.
Melissa.
All right, that's a... Oops, hey, Melissa. Okay, wonderful list. Yes, yeah, sure. Okay, we've got Tenzin P, Hanayeta R, Shanna C, Tony B, Mary Lee R, Ted G, or B, Ken W.H., and Melissa C. Let's get started with Tenzin. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning. And Rick, thank you so much for an inspiring presentation. My question is, you talked about how it was for you early on, connecting with or not connecting with steps 2, 3, and 11. And then could you say something more about what happened as to make that change, or how you experienced that change? Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Denzen. I, you know, I started off in the other program. I started off in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I really just felt that by not drinking and going to meetings, and I heard that a lot. Don't drink, go to meetings. And that certainly was a good place to begin. But the more and more I started experiencing life on life's terms and not working through the steps, I was just still like miserable and felt disconnected and lonely and isolated. And I started slowly becoming more and more connected to the people in the group, and you know, and they were showing me how working the steps had transformed them. And you know, and I truly believed that. I was just incapable of fully, you know, giving into it and living that for a long time, because I'm just so stubborn and such a fighter and so contrary. But it became apparent to me that when my food addiction, you know, was so out of control, and you know, and that extreme example of self-will running riot was hurting more and more people who I loved and cared about, that something was missing. Even though I would say the steps, you know, I would read the steps each, you know, in the morning, and I would believe them, but when I got onto, you know, this meeting here, A Vision for You, and I mean, and it's a wonderful big book meeting. It, and there's other big book meetings for me to go to, but this is the one where I was like, it came alive for me. And I truly was, you know, taking piecemeal these paragraphs that we were reading throughout the entire big book that we read on A Vision for You. But so when we were in that part, the first time I went, you know, was listening to it, going through a paragraph at a time and listening to everybody share, is when that transformation truly took place for me. And I just realized that this is what I wanted, and this is the only way I was going to, you know, keep transforming and growing and being the person I felt like God would have me be.
Thank you, Tenzin, for your question. Hanayeta, R, your question, please.
Thank you so much, Leah, for all the service you do for our meeting. Rick, oh my gosh, thank you so much. What a wonderful job you did. I mean, a wonderful job. Thank you. On the top of page 87, when it says, you had mentioned about becomes a working part of our mind. It says, being still in experience or just having made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired all the time. Okay, but you have had, but you're not still in experience, and you just didn't make conscious contact with God. I always say, still in experience, or having lots of experience, still having had no conscious contact, or just conscious contact with God, having lots of conscious contact with God. So what do you say to make that your own? Because I know that you have more than, you just didn't make conscious contact with God, you know? So is there something special that you say in those lines that help you make it your own? That was clear.
Oh, thank you, Hanayeta, so much. I just have to be very careful, you know, about, because my ego, I mean, I can turn anything around and make it about me. So that I acknowledge that, you know, for me, what used to be that hunter occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. So that gradually, it doesn't happen overnight. And I know that, just like with the promises, you know, it's almost like, for, you know, I forget what kind of the arc sodium lights or whatever, the, you know, in the big warehouses. I used to work in a warehouse when I was a kid, and, you know, you go in and turn on the lights and they didn't just come on. They were very dim. But slowly, as, you know, as time went on, you know, the room would just gradually become brighter and brighter. And that's how the promises are for me. They materialize when I work for them. And it's the hunch and the inspiration gradually becoming a part of my mind. I feel my mind, you know, when I'm connected with God, is becoming brighter and brighter. And I just don't want to get, you know, cocky and just think just because I have an idea, then it's God's will for me. Or, you know, then this seems like a really good idea. So it's imperative that I connect my inspiration with someone else's practical experience. So I need people to connect with me, you know, and God with that. And it's true. I find my thinking is more and more along, you know, the lines of inspiration, and I'm coming to rely upon it more and more each day. But yeah, it's, if I don't keep people in the loop who know me and can call me on my BS and share their experience, then it, for me, it's just, you know, whatever God's will is. And I think that's the part where I just acknowledge that, right? With, you know, the plane of inspiration being more and more realized, but I also, you know, see that how much I need other people to make sure and to help me and to keep, you know, my ego and self-centeredness in check.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hanietta. Shanna C., your turn.
Good morning, Leah. Good morning, Rick. This is Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate your share. And I identified with about everything. I feel like in kindred spirit kind of stuff. First of all, I really identify with what you said about step seven, bringing step seven into 10, 11, and 12, and it's all interwoven and all of that. And my question is, actually, I kind of have two, so I'll try to keep it brief. And I know for me, the morbid reflection I get into quite often, because number one, the fact that those defects still come up and the expectation that they shouldn't, because quote unquote, I'm doing the work. Have you experienced that level of frustration? And number two is, I love the part too about how you love to hear Paul's stories, and God bless you. What a miracle your experience and how your reaction to life had changed in that incident with your daughter. I could see transformation based on, I mean, that's nothing short of a miracle. You being able to calmly sit down and eat a meal and go be helpful. And I'd love to hear another story like that, because I believe you. I believe in that fourth dimension. I believe those God shots that happen. And I want to hear another one of those stories like that of yours, because they're so inspirational. And I believe it gives me hope, and it gives other people hope on the line that are looking for that God or their understanding to show up in their own lives and maybe unable to see it for themselves. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Shanna. I certainly, when I'm especially for a painful incident during the day, and I've got the emotional hangover for it, you know, I like answering the questions just kind of, you know, like I can go back and review, you know, like if I'm having that, if I'm feeling that way, I just kind of go back and look at, you know, the questions and, you know, and certainly, do I need to discuss this with somebody? Sometimes discussing it with somebody else, if I haven't already, it's, you know, then it helps me keep things in perspective. Again, my magic magnifying mind. And if I know that I truly, you know, I made the amends, I made the apology, I tried to be kind and loving in my amends, which, you know, I just did with my daughter yesterday. You know, I was driving her car. We were going to Starbucks and a car cut me off and she, you know, and I just braked. I saw the car and she reached over and honked the horn, you know, and I just said, Libby, don't do that. I'm driving and, you know, it's, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, with my road rage scenarios of the past and so-called abstinence and sobriety, you know, and I know how fast these things can escalate. And I was very firm. I wasn't yelling, but I was just very firm. And I know I hurt her feelings. And, you know, when I was thinking about that in my nightly review, I also remembered, because I was starting to feel really bad and the way her little face looked so sad. We were so happy and excited a minute before just to be together and how her face looked. And then I remembered that I had said, Livy, honey, I love you. And I didn't mean to, you know, to make you feel bad. And I knew you were just kind of trying to look out for us, but, and I explained my own history with driving and I'm, you know, I've got an injured shoulder. It's blown out. I'm getting ready to have surgery and they're going to put in a shiny new shoulder. And part of that fear is that, you know, if something happened, I wouldn't be able to protect her or, you know, so there was a lot of stuff going on and I just shared that with her. And by the time we got to Starbucks, you know, 2 minutes later, it was like as if it never happened. And I remembered that. Now, if that hadn't happened, and I was thinking about that, then I would realize that I've got some corrective measures to do. Go talk to Livy. So I hope that answers your question. And provides another example.
Thank you, Shanna C. Tony B. Your question, please.
Hi, thank you so much, Rick. Oh, I just loved this presentation. It was really from the heart. It flowed so naturally. And you're just an inspiration. Really, you are. So my question is just sort of bottom of 86 here. So we may not be able to determine which course to take. Asking God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. I just wondered if you could give some examples of how that's working for you in a positive way, like that relax and take it easy. And are there some, you mentioned sort of going for cycle rides or going for walks. And I just wondered if, you know, related to those few sentences, you could talk about how your days sometimes flow and in a positive way. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tony. And I'm so glad that you're joining us all the way from Scotland. Just like this morning, you know, I was starting to get a little bit wrapped around the axle about sharing this morning. And, you know, and I was starting to get into this little bit of a frenzy of jotting things down I wanted to remember to say, you know, and something's kind of funny here. I have to share this. So, and I wrote down like these clear instructions for me, 45 minutes, step 11. And then I was trying to write down, you know, my thinking and my inspiration. And I wrote down my think instead of thinking, my inspiration. And I was getting ready to cross that out and write thinking. And then I just wrote a smiley face on there, you know, and I drew a little rocket ship out to the side because that's just part of this experience. But for me, it's like, and it can be in the morning when I'm, you know, and if I've already done a nightly review and I've got some fear, you know, and I've addressed some fear about some things that might be happening today. There might be some confrontation, or there might be financial matters. There might be something I need to do I don't want to do. You know, I've looked at that fear the night before, and I've tried to, you know, look at my selfishness and my dishonesty and, you know, and any resentment and stuff. And, you know, and again, it's like, okay, I've done the best I could do to share that with my higher power. You know, this is my step 10 with God. And then just asking for that inspiration. It's like, okay, and just sitting in quiet, or, you know, and I usually start this, even if it's in a pause in the morning, it doesn't matter. I'll just say, hello, God. I do. And another little exercise that a sponsor taught me to do years ago, because I was so full of self-hatred, he said, I want you to go to the mirror, Rick. I want you to look at your reflection right in the eye, and I want you to say these words. I love you, Rick. I couldn't do it. I could not do it for a long time, and now I just do it all the time. It's part of my pausing if I happen to be near a mirror, especially out somewhere, and I'm, you know, a bathroom, a public bathroom if I need to, or if I'm out somewhere. It's a great little place for me to just, like, take a moment, take a breath, and I'll look in the mirror, and I'll just say, I love you, Rick. But before that, it's like, hello, God. And because if I'm saying, hello, God, and I love you, Rick, I'm letting my higher power that lives within me speak to me through my own voice. And it's my higher power telling me he loves me. And it just clears the way for me to just relax. And it's like, okay, I don't have to take myself too seriously. And a dear friend of mine who's on the line this morning said, if just bring God into it and you'll do great. And I can remember that I can just bring God into anything. But that means that I have to let myself go. And so that's what I try to do. And then I can just be one with my higher power. It's okay. I don't even understand this power. I just know that I can feel it. And thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony B. Mary Lee R., your turn.
Good morning. Thank you. Wow.
Wow.
Bless them, change me was my question, but when you do your nightly review, when I do my nightly review, then all of a sudden I'm like, I should have, would have, could have, had a, you know, done this, but thank you for the gift of step 7. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I do my nightly review in the morning, and I have been sleeping so much better. But can you address Bless Them, Change Me?
Thank you, Mary. Let's see. Well, you know, what could I have done better? You know, that really does prompt corrective measures. The same as, you know, is there something that I need to discuss with somebody else? You know, do I know that apology? That is, for me, that the corrective measures that I'm truly trying to go toward. And combined with that, it's the prayer in step 11, which I meant to talk about, but I didn't. It's a beautiful prayer, step 11 prayer, the St. Francis prayer. You know, it's asking, you know, to be a channel of God's peace. you know, to channel through, you know, his grace for others. And as his grace is flowing through me to others in whatever way it needs to, then my prayer is that, you know, some of that is, you know, is blessing me. And, you know, and the more I accept someone else, the more they change. Like, they don't really have to do anything. It's just like that, you know, that paragraph on acceptance. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. You know, what do I need to change about me? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, that person right there, the courage to change the things I can, me, and the wisdom to remember that. I can change me and accept you if I have God's help. And that's, for me, how that ties in, you know, bless me, you know, bless me or bless others, change me. I mean, I'm being changed. I'm being blessed, but others are being blessed too. It's, you know, because I'm accepting them for exactly who they are and me for exactly who I am. That's the goal. That's where I'm trying to go. That's my spiritual compass. I appreciate the question, Mary. I hope that answered your question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. Ted, your turn. Star one to unmute.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody's service today. My question relates about the 11th step. For me, the 11th step in the morning is very important for me. Make sure I leave the house with my higher power. But I find that lately I'm kind of avoiding spending one-on-one time with God. It's like I'm getting out of meeting before I'm praying, or I'm calling my best friend's daughter to do a Bible reading together, you know. But what do you do when you get, if you do get bored of your 11th step, and, you know, do you mix it up? How do you mix it up? Because I know it's a lifelong journey and it's a day at a time, but honestly, sometimes my time in the morning, because I'm bored, it's getting stale with God. So I'm just wondering what I could do, or what you do when you get a little bit, like, you know, bored of the morning rituals, to mix it up, keep it exciting with God, and that's my question. Hope that makes sense.
Thank you, Ted. Yes, it does make sense. And I mean, the only thing I can say is my favorite carrying around tool, which is pausing. You know, it's that, it says agitation or doubt, you know. But it's any emotional disturbance for me. And, you know, being bored, or, you know, that's an emotional disturbance for me. That's a disconnector. It's a God blocker. And that's a perfect time to pause, you know, is, and I've done that. Excuse me. So, and I've actually stood up in a meeting and I'm just antsy and, you know, and sitting toward the back, and the meeting's not over yet, and someone's sharing that, you know, I don't particularly want to listen to, and I just start to leave. And if I pause, I'm like, oh, remember that acronym, pray and use step 11. I mean, whatever step 11 is, it's like, God, please help me to just get back in there and listen for the thing you need me to hear from this person. I mean, it could be anything, but pausing is crucial for anything. It's like, its applications are only as limited as my own imagination. It's a limitless, infinite placeholder to connect with our higher power and to release the things which block me, you know? Thanks, Ted.
Thank you. Ken W.H., your turn.
Thank you, Leah. Hi, neighbor. glad to hear you today. Just a question. Step 11, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. So this is a day-to-day thing. We consider our plans for the day. What I wanted to ask was, can you give some practical ideas about the things you think about that are coming up in the day that you need to be aware of that they're coming, or that a situation that you're going to possibly walk into, or I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I need to know I'm going to the grocery store. Just your example in the car, you talked about pause a lot, and pausing and preparing, or just pausing. Obviously, the pause didn't happen automatically there, and you confess that and straighten that out. What is there, like, a way you can, or do you have ways of preparing for the day that I'm going to be in the car and somebody is probably going to cut me off? That's kind of my question. Do you have preparation?
Oh, thank you, Ken. Well, you know, that's why the first thing I do is look at my corrective measures. And, you know, and a lot of times I've already addressed things that are coming up this day in the nightly review. But other than that, you know, I think about my meals for the day and where I'm going to be eating them, you know, especially if I'm out on the road. Or so one of the things I do, my plans includes my meals. And it helps me when I'm thinking about my day. It's sort of a combination of a things to do list combined with God's will for me and how I want to be as I go through each one of these activities. I wish I did this perfectly. This is something that I've started doing pretty recently, you know, is, and again, my unstructured mind, you know, needs the spiritual structure and routine of these actions we take here. But also just a good old things to do list, but combining that with my higher power and my higher power's will for me, you know, and inspiration as I'm thinking about these. And starting a long trip, I absolutely bring that in and my driving into that. And also to help God, you know, to remind me to remember to pause like crazy when I'm driving, and to pull over when I start getting agitated or doubtful. I know that if I'm pausing and driving, you know, it's better, you know, certainly to pause, but to find a place where I can pull over safely and just sit there with me and God for a minute. And then all of a sudden it's just gone. It's just gone. Or if I'm, you know, if I'm having to, you know, to show up for a, you know, a medical test when I was going through cancer. And, you know, when I had my, you know, my foot surgery and, you know, my upcoming shoulder surgery and, you know, having to wear a CPAP machine because of extreme sleep apnea and, you know, going through my father's death. These were things that, you know, when I was starting the day, you know, I knew that there was just emotional, like thunderheads on the horizon. I could just see the sky darkening, and I just starting my day acknowledging that and being able to set a course, a spiritual course through that, really helps. And I just combine it with the things to do. You know, if I'm going to make a call to, you know, about insurance, you know, I can just be, you know, respectful and, you know, because I've gotten angry in the past, you know, and yelled at people on the phone. And I don't have to do that today, but I need help. I need help. And the morning is an awesome place to do that. And pausing is beautiful for remembering to do that and, you know, and to give me an extra shot, an extra God shot throughout the day. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you, Ken W.H. And our final question for this morning comes from Melissa C.
Hey, thanks so much. That was really powerful. And, you know, Rick, I relate on so many levels. We have so many shared experiences. And I just have to say before I ask the question, I laughed out loud about your daughter leaning over and honking your horn because, no joke, yesterday as I was driving, my husband did that to me. And I freaked out. I freaked out, but he's not my tender daughter. So, you know, our thing was different. But my question is that, and I probably do owe him an amend now that I'm like saying it out loud, I'm going to go apologize. But, you know, do you ever find that your pause is avoidance? Because sometimes I find that I pause and it's like, oh, okay. And then it seems like I feel okay about it, but then it comes up again. And then I'm like, I think I avoided something. So I'm just curious if you ever had that experience as well. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Melissa. I absolutely have. You know, and it's in a way I tell myself, oh, all I need to do is just pause and then that's all I need to do. And, you know, and sometimes that's really all I need. And the only way I can tell the difference between whether, you know, the pause, you know, like took hold, so to speak, or just bounced off is if it disconnects me, you know, and sometimes I've said my prayer. I've just like slowed down, given somebody else plenty of space. I've waved them over, waved them in, let somebody pull out, whatever it is, you know, kept my mouth shut, most importantly. That's probably the biggest spiritual thing I can do now is just keep my mouth shut, or be a good listener. And I have done that, you know, where I've paused and in my mind, I've done all I need to do. And then it comes back around and I'm like, you know what? I need to call somebody. I need to call somebody. It's time to discuss with somebody. And then with somebody else's help, then I truly do feel that release, you know, but it's all about whether I feel connected or disconnected. And, you know, I love like the acronym wait. And, I always said, wait was what am I thinking? And my wife says, why am I talking? I think that's directed at me. No, I'm just kidding. But, so if my thoughts and in my, you know, and my speech are aligned with God's will in a way that I feel connected, then I just move on. If not, then I just pick up the phone, you know, or I just go talk with my wife, or I go, you know, with somebody else in the, you know, in the program, or a fellow, or someone who knows me, who knows my particular situation. And then that's where that release happens. But yeah, I absolutely agree. I can use pausing as sort of an excuse to not have to do a step 10. And that's not what pausing is for. But it certainly can prevent, you know, a small emotional disturbance from going any further than it needs to. It's like, you know, God's my first responder. But if I don't feel like that, I've truly released and connected, then it's picking up the phone. It's letting you know about it. You know, and the further away from myself that I go, you know, the closer to you I become, and the closer to you I become, the closer to God I feel, the closer to God I feel, the closer to you I become, you know, the closer to you I become, the further away from myself I go. And that's where that's my course, you know. And if I feel like I'm getting off course, or like that, the beautiful, you know, song on our favorite station is starting to get staticky, it's time to, you know, adjust that dial just a little bit. And sometimes pausing can do that, and sometimes it can't. Thanks so much, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa C., and thanks to everyone who posed questions this morning. And of course, thank you so much, Rick, for this beautiful, profound, and inspiring presentation this morning. Really heartfelt and will be useful to so many of that, I'm sure. Share ID for today, 23,400. That's 23,400. We're going to close now from page 164. It's found in a chapter entitled A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.